God put something on my heart very heavily last night. This is not the message. We'll have a message. This is in the way of an introduction. Father, bless these words to our hearts, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Father, give us a rich portion from your heart in Jesus' name. God put this on my heart very heavily last night. And it was very clear that we were supposed to talk about this morning. One of the things that plagues believers, and it plagues them because they do not have an experiential cross in their life. What do I mean by an experiential cross? You see, a lot of believers will read or hear the passages in the scriptures that speak of the cross, take up your cross and follow me, I've been crucified with Christ, and so on. And they will acknowledge them intellectually, but they never become internalized, and they never become a reality in their life. And what happens when that does not take place is that the believer will turn to the Bible and try to perform it. And by and large, because that believer is a moral person, they use their morality as though it were spirituality. Spirituality and morality are two different things. Morality is simply being able to adhere to a certain standard. Spirituality is to have the life of the Holy Spirit residing and flowing in the believer, the life of God. However, this is a foreign thing in much of Christianity. Much of Christianity takes its morality and calls it its relationship to God. And whether people acknowledge it or not, in a very practical and experiential way, this is how they live. And they will hear the passages about the cross. They will hear the passages about a life with God. They will acknowledge them, but they are not practical in their lives. They do not deny themselves. What does it mean to deny myself? The flesh cannot in and of itself deny itself. What it means is that I take the Word of God in with the Holy Spirit's initiation of that Word to my heart, to my frame of reference. And as that takes place, self-life becomes pushed aside and God's life becomes my life. This is called theantric action. Now, this is a crucial thing in the believer's life. You see, believers will take their morality, believers will take their constructs of what is right and wrong, usually gotten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they will try to apply those constructs to their lives and say, I'm walking with God. No, at the tree of knowledge of good and evil is where I'm separated from God. The throne of iniquity works mischief through the law. You see, believers, large scale, wholesale, the average believer, without being aware of this because they have not been taught with a clear and certain sound, will live at the tree of knowledge. And they call it their walk, when in truth it is iniquity. So they have iniquity in their life because there is a law they are following, and they call it their walk with God. It's not a walk with God. That's Phariseeism. But how, this is the state. This is the state of much of Christianity. Because they do not know how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because they have not received the Word of God in clarity and in precision and in categories of doctrine. And so they do not know how to apply the Word of God in their life in a very practical sense with the quickening of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is the language the Spirit speaks. Apart from the Word of God, the Spirit will give vague impressions. Now, that's not taking away sovereignty. By the way, take away sovereignty and you take away God's calling. Because God's calling is sovereign for each individual believer. The fact that we can have a relationship on our own with Christ is based on the sovereignty of God. Otherwise, we would all be just a bunch of drones following the rules. So as we walk in a relationship with God, as we live in our relationship with God, we live in the sovereignty of God. And God's sovereignty through His Spirit in John 16 is what shows me all things, what brings me into the things that God has for me. It's where the Holy Spirit shows me the things to come. This is one of the ministries to the believer. Yet what happens when that is not present in the believer's life? When that cross is not a practical reality on a day-to-day basis? When I don't live in resurrection life, which is what the cross produces in the believer? What is it that happens? Well, this is one of the problems in Christianity today, in individual believers' lives. If I don't lay down my life, pick up my cross and follow Him, I am living in my natural self-life. And the result of living in my natural self-life, because I am in spiritual warfare, I am in the world, I do deal with imperfect people, I will get wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I will become an angry believer. And I will try to control that anger in my own natural efforts by submitting myself to a law, saying to myself, I cannot or I must not. But inside I am still angry. That is not life that is more abundant. That is the flesh trying to control itself. But it's still the flesh. It's still the good side of the tree of knowledge. It still brings death. Does that mean that I let my anger loose? No, certainly it does not. But I have to be careful as a believer not to live in this, not to allow this to enter into my heart. And if I have gone there already, and many Christians do, I would say the average Christian does, if I have gone there already, I need God's help. And I need to humble myself before God, pick up my cross, and follow Him. Now, in Mark 5:22, the Word of God says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, what do those words mean? Without a cause conveys the idea of a failure of the angry person. You see, that anger without a cause is a failure. It is the failure to implement the finished work. It is a failure of the cross. It is failing the grace of God. So without a cause means that that person has failed. So when I am angry because of my own failure towards the finished work, towards the cross, towards the blood, without a cause means that I failed to recognize that all things are from God. It doesn't matter what they are. All things are from God. Somebody did me something wrong. All things are from God. Somebody broke the law, or somebody, whatever it is. All things are from God. Or maybe I made a mistake. All things are from God. And if I don't recognize this, I will be angry. I will live in the natural man. I will live in the expression of the flesh. And I will be angry. Shall be in danger of judgment. It's talking about Romans 2:1. Who are you who judges another man's servant? Right? Really, in paraphrase, it says, how dare you to judge another man's servant because you have done the same things. And that iniquity goes on me when I judge another person. This is why I'm in danger of judgment. As I judge, so will I be judged. And even though that person may not be judged because they repent before God, Or maybe the situation was a divine situation that was really caused to, you know, to bring me to the cross, to introduce me to the life of God through the cross. If I won't go there in my frame of reference where I see that all things are from God, I will start to judge by sight. I will look at a situation, I will look at a person, I will look at something, and I will become angry. And the judgment then goes back onto me. You see, the Word of God says, you've done the same things. Well, no. For example, somebody commits some kind of immorality, fornication, or you know, adultery, or murders somebody, or does drugs or something like that, and people will get angry with that person. Be careful. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Okay, be careful. If I stand in judgment of that person, if I don't look to God and I look at that person instead, I'm judging them, and God will take that person's faults, that person's mistakes, plural things, plural, it's in Romans 2. He will impute them to me. He will impute them to me. And even though I did not actually commit the act, God will treat me as though I did because of my own anger. I have to be very careful about that. Anger is extraordinarily dangerous stuff. And when it says reka, it means empty and worthless. That's what that word means. If I say to somebody, you are empty and you are worthless, that's a serious, serious transgression. It is a violation of the blood of God. It is a violation of the mind of Christ. It is a violation of redemption. It's a violation of the heart of God. I cannot say to someone, you are empty and worthless. I cannot have that attitude towards them. Because God is looking at my heart. People look at the outward appearance, but God is looking at my heart. And if in my heart I evaluate someone as empty and worthless, then God is not very pleased about that. He says that I will be danger of the council. The council there speaks of a tribunal. The believer's tribunal is the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. What he is talking about is you are in danger of losing your rewards at the Bema seat. It is possible to lose rewards at the Bema seat. It is not possible to lose my salvation. But at the judgment seat of Christ, people do lose certain rewards that they would have otherwise gotten. Well, I am in danger of that if I say in my heart that someone is worthless and empty. It's the result of anger. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Thou fool is from Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. In other words, I don't think you're even saved. You're not saved. Because of your behavior, because of this circumstance, maybe I'm not saved. Whatever it is, however it is that I want to judge out of my anger, I have to be extraordinarily careful not to do so. If I say this person does not even know Christ, then I am in danger of going into hell. Because the deep did not call unto deep, the Holy Spirit has not spoken to my heart. He has not testified to me. And if he does not testify to me, then do I even possess him? Now in Matthew 7 verse 2, the Word of God says, for with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You see, this is the problem. The same judgment that I judge with out of my anger is the judgment that I will receive. God will arrange it that way. Why? Because I choose God's standard of evaluation for my life. If you live by the law, you will be judged by the law. That's what the Word of God says. I choose God's standard of evaluation for my life. If I allow anger because I have not picked up the cross into my life, then I'm going to be judged with that standard. The other person will not be judged with that standard. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that God will remove that person's transgressions. He will treat them better because of my anger. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Be careful not to allow this into your lives. It's a terrible thing. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Anger rests in the heart of a fool. Don't be hasty to your anger. It rests in, if you are hasty in anger, the Word of God says that that person is a fool. Who is the fool? It is the person who lacks wisdom. It is the person who lacks the knowledge and the skill and the ability to properly apply the Word of God in their life. That's the person that has anger in their bosom. It is foolishness. Job 7:24 says, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Don't judge according to what you see and what you hear. Judge according to the finished work. Judge in the leading of the Holy Spirit. I do not know a person's life. I do not know a person's heart. I cannot judge according to the outward appearances of things. I can't even judge according to somebody's behavior. Why? Because that is not their heart. That is simply the manifestation of a symptom. It's a symptom. It's not the heart. You know what happens is, it's almost like getting an aneurysm and trying to cover it with a Band-Aid. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's very important that people define these things in their own frames of reference, in their own heart and their mind and their way of thinking. It's very important because this is one of the biggest things that causes iniquity in believers' lives. Proverbs 14 verse 17, "He that is soon angered dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." The person who is quickly angered, the person who it flares up in, that person deals apart from the mind of God, apart from the Word of God, apart from the thoughts and the heart of the Savior. He deals foolishly. He does not have wisdom in that which he does because he is quick to anger. How does that manifest itself? Well, if it's toward another person, it's usually as a criticism or a negativity, or outright yelling at them, or ridicule. By the way, ridicule, criticism, sarcasm, these are Satan's devices. They are not from God. Nowhere in the Scriptures did God get sarcastic or ridicule another person. As a matter of fact, He says He won't ridicule them. It is imperative that I not go there as a believer. It is imperative that I have the cross in my life, that I have the mind of Christ, that I think with the Word of God, that I apply the finished work in my practical decisions and thinking. Otherwise, I enter into anger. In Psalm 22, verse 24, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." I'm not even supposed to hang around people who are angry. Why? If I hang around them, I'll become like them. You see, anger is an infectious thing. My negativity, my anger can infect you. I have to guard my heart against people's anger. It's a very dangerous place to go. What happens in families if anger and negativity are present? Well, if you have a son, that son will usually become angry also. Daughters are a little bit different. If there is negativity and anger in the home, daughters will usually turn to promiscuity. This is a dangerous thing. Anger is unbelievably dangerous. It divides. It's the discord of Proverbs chapter 6 that God hates. Be careful with anger. Have to define these things in our own minds. Be careful with anger. Proverbs 27, verse 4, in the A part of the verse, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. There is cruelty in anger. The angry person will say to themselves, I can because this is my feeling. And they don't even take the time to think about it, but that's their frame of reference. I can because this is how I feel. Well, your feeling is from the pit. Our emotions are responders. They are not thinkers, they are responders. And if I am responding to Satan's initiations because I've been fellowshipping with his frame of reference, then I will have anger in my life and it will be cruel. And I will say things to someone to cut them. I will say things that are ridiculing. I will say things that are humiliating. I will say things that are unkind. I will say them behind a person's back or I will say them in front of their face. And of course I feel very self-righteous in it because after all, I'm living at the good side of the tree of knowledge. All the meantime, not realizing that I'm living in iniquity. And iniquity was emotional rebellion against God. It is the seat of evil because it is a throne. It's Satan's throne. Evil is Satan's government. And I'm being regulated by the atmosphere. This is an extremely dangerous place to be, anger. It's an extremely dangerous place to be. If your children are godly already, what will happen is they'll withdraw from you. Because then they've already established the convictions not to either be angry or promiscuous, but they will simply withdraw. Because they're trying to protect their hearts. Be careful with anger. Be careful with anger. Unbelievably dangerous stuff, anger. James says it's that the tongue is a world of iniquity. Be careful with your anger. Take it to the cross. In Proverbs 130 in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? If God would mark iniquity, I could not stand. And yet I have the audacity to be angry at another believer. I can't stand before God in my own iniquities, but I think because I am at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and after all I am at the good side, and after all I'm being moral, and after all I'm right. No, you're not right. You're living in iniquity and it's a deception and your morality has become your own source of darkness where it was meant to be a light. Morality can be deceptive if it is apart from the Holy Spirit. It will take me to darkness where the Holy Spirit takes me to light. And so I respond to the kingdom of darkness thinking that I'm responding in light, because it's the good side of the tree, but it still brings death. That's why it doesn't work. It doesn't work in the believer's life. And people get angry and they say, I'm doing it for the other person's benefit. No, your anger is for your own emotional satisfaction. Stop lying. People don't like this kind of a message because it's very clear and it cuts. But the Word of God is quick and it cuts. We need clarity in our lives. Because apart from clarity in our lives, we won't know how to live. We need clarity. In Revelation 12:12, where does anger come from? Well, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. In Ezekiel 28:15, thou wast perfect in thy ways, from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And in Ezekiel 28:17, thine heart was filled up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. And in Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Where does anger come from? Satan was the first one who got angry. What happened that he got angry? There was something he didn't like. He became oriented to self, and he didn't like what was taking place. And so he got angry. Iniquity was found in his heart. What is iniquity? Iniquity is emotional rebellion against God. Satan didn't like, Lucifer didn't like what was happening, that Christ would die for fallen man, but not for perfect angels. He didn't like it because he was the covering cherub. And because he was a beautiful, unbelievably beautiful angel, and he was the highest of the angels, he thought that in him there was something. He got his feelings hurt, he got offended, he got mad, he got angry, and his iniquity, his emotional rebellion against God, was then manifested in anger. And to this day, he is angry because he is in emotional rebellion against God. Anger is Satan's frame of reference. Anger is Satan's frame of reference. And it comes when something happens in my life that I don't like or I don't want or things don't go my way. Because there is no cross, because there is no resurrection life, because I'm not thinking with the mind of Christ, I react in my emotions. And as I react in my emotions, I enter into iniquity, and that reaction is then manifested in the outward expression of anger. I have to be very careful at this. It is unbelievably destructive. All of kingdom warfare, all of spiritual warfare is on the foundation of Satan's anger. Anger is unbelievably destructive. Unbelievably destructive. Watch the anger. Be careful. If it comes, get rid of it quickly. Anger is the highest form of self-orientation. Because I'm not oriented to the mind of God. I'm not oriented to the cross of the Savior. I'm not oriented to the finished work. I'm not oriented to the blood of the Lamb. I'm not oriented to the way God sees and thinks. I am oriented to myself. I don't like it. And therein is anger. In Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Anger stirs up strife in my heart, and it makes me to transgress. My expression of anger is as righteous as I may feel at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, on the good side, of course, is a transgression. It's sin. Living at the good side of the tree of knowledge is sin. See, Satan is an angel of light. He will always take you to the good side of the tree of knowledge. But it's sin. And continuing it long enough, you'll enter into evil, because then it begins to regulate you, and your own understanding of the law, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of the dark side of morality, apart from the Holy Spirit's initiations, that will lead you into a frame of reference where that becomes a premise for the way that you think. And as that becomes the premise of the way that you think, it becomes a governing principle in your life, and it takes you into evil, Satan's government. This is extremely dangerous. I can't tell you how dangerous anger is. It is dangerous It is dangerous for the person who possesses it, and it is dangerous for the person who is around them. It is dangerous. In Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth his shame. You see, if I don't have the mind of Christ, if I don't know how to think, then I'm going to react. And my anger will become quickly verbalized and quickly manifest itself. If I'm prudent, if I know how to walk with God, if I know how to respond to the Word of God, then I'm not going to go there. I'll know what to do with my anger. In Genesis 49:7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and I will scatter them in Israel. Anger is fierce and cruel. It is merciless. It doesn't know the boundaries. It doesn't know when to stop. It is merciless. It is cruel. It has the heart of iniquity. There is cruelty to it. It has Satan's heart. It's cruel. In Psalm 37, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Cease from anger. Do you have anger? Cease from it. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. In James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be quick to hear. How do I get out of anger? I am quick to receive from the Holy Spirit for the circumstance. I am quick to receive the Word of God. I am quick to be led by God. Instead of reacting to what's going on, instead of reacting to the person, I go to God quickly. I go to God quickly and I receive something from Him. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You want to be outside of God's righteousness? Let your anger go. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It's unrighteousness, it's unholiness, it's transgression, it's defiled, it's not sanctified. By the way, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I can't say to myself, well, I'm usually not, just sometimes. Well, yeah, but those are the sometimes where the transgression comes in. I'm either 100% spiritual or 100% carnal. There is no in between. And just like Peter, I can flip-flop between one and the other. At one moment I can be 100% carnal, and the next moment I can be 100% spiritual. But there is no in between. In 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. This is the second step to getting out of anger. Pray and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. When I turn to God and I have a prayer life, when I pray in my circumstance, or when I pray when the person comes against me, or whatever it is, when I pray and I praise, I will not have anger. I pray and I praise Him. I'm thankful to God. A lot of people curse that which was sent by God because they don't know how to praise Him in the practical details of their life. When I pray and I praise and I don't doubt, I have faith, I trust God that all things are from Him and that all things really are for my sake. By the way, the other person's wrong actions, wrong decisions, wrong behaviors are in fact for my sake. They're for my sake. How? Because all things work together for good. Because the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. Therefore, my sin, I get angry for things that God has sent to develop His character and His nature in me. They were for my sake. And yet I get angry. In Proverbs 14 and verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. What is great understanding? When the Holy Spirit shows me how to use the doctrine that I have received in the details of my life, when the Holy Spirit reveals to me what the other person's heart is, when the Holy Spirit reveals to me what the proper response is, that is great understanding. And it doesn't come apart from the Holy Spirit. Knowing what to speak, when to speak, and how to say it. In the practical details and the practical dealings of my life is the practical application of wisdom, and the practical application of wisdom is understanding. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I wish every believer could drill this into their frame of reference. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, I don't say anything to their face. No, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, to their face or otherwise. Never become negative toward your circumstances. Do not verbalize your negativity. If you have negativity, take it to the cross. Take it to the Savior and ask Him to help you in it, because He will. The Holy Spirit says that if you ask Him, He will give to you wisdom abundantly. You're in a warfare. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Edify people behind their back in their failure. Confess Christ in the trial. That's faith. God calls those things that are not as though they are, yet we are greater than our Master. We will say, well, this is not what it is. This is not what it should be. This person is such and such in this way. And I'm not talking about getting wisdom or counsel. Those things are perfectly fine. I'm just talking about a person's attitude before God towards a circumstance or another person whereby they get angry and they confess their anger. It's wrong. It's not the Word of God. It does not edify. It tears down. It's destructive. Edify people behind their backs. Confess faith in your trial. Confess Christ in your trial. Edify people to their face also. In their failure. In their failure, you edify them. Why? Because you need to open up their spirit. It is entirely possible for a believer to have a closed spirit, because they have become wounded by another believer's anger. What happens when a person gets a closed spirit? They can no longer receive. They will withdraw. They will not receive. They will draw into themselves. They will withdraw away from the body of Christ. They will withdraw from their covering. They will withdraw from their family. They will withdraw from their pastor. They will withdraw. And they will not be in a position to receive, and ultimately they will withdraw from the Holy Spirit. Failure can cause me to close my spirit without my even realizing I have done it, because I have become wounded. Edify people in their failure. I'm not saying you don't deal with things that are proper and you don't deal with them in order, and if they need to be dealt with, you deal with them. But do it in a way that edifies. Don't do it out of anger, because then the mistake isn't theirs, it's yours. And whatever mistake they make, God puts on you, Romans chapter 2. Edify them, build them up, love people in their failure, love people. Why? Jesus, when the woman was caught in adultery, loved her in the midst of her failure. The woman at the well was living with a fifth man. Jesus loved her in her failure. He edified her. He gave her truth. He built her up. He did not address her according to her sins. He did not address her according to her failures. He did not know them after the flesh. Edify people in their failure. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven them. You see, when I am unkind, when I am unforgiven, when I have strife or malice or clamor or anger, I am contrary to the heart of God. I am contrary to the blood of Christ, because it was for Christ's sake, not for my sake, but for Christ's sake, that God the Father forgives the sinner. I am attacking Christ in my anger as I am expressing that anger toward another believer. I am in fact attacking Christ. Whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. I don't forgive people for their sake. I'm not kind to people for their sake. I'm kind to people for God's sake, for Christ's sake. Because He died on the cross for them. He shed His blood to cleanse them. He makes them whole. He's the Redeemer. He's trying to work in their life. I cannot shut down a person's capacity because of my emotional rebellion against God, because I'm in a circumstance that I don't like. Edify for Christ's sake. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Anger is a fruit of the flesh. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off these. Put them off. Take them off like a coat. Put them off. Don't let them be your covering any longer. Don't let them be your frame of reference any longer. Put them off. Anger. Anger is number one. Anger. Wrath. The manifestation of anger. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. What is filthy communication? Anything that is not the righteousness of God. Hostile words. Unedifying words. A lack of kindness. Filthy communication. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. How do you deal with people who are angry? A lot of times we'll find ourselves, and we can't avoid it, in the presence of a person who is angry. And we can shut down our capacity. We can shut down our spirit. Or we can respond to God. We can get wounded, or we can let faith be our shield. How do we respond to a person who is angry? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. God is not in that person's anger. I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God says, I know your heart. I know the angry person's heart. I'm not looking at their countenance. I'm not looking at their outward appearance. I'm not looking at their behavior. I'm looking at the heart. Don't be afraid of their countenance. Don't look at it. Don't worry about it. If they appear angry, don't worry about it. God is in control. Luke chapter 4 and verse 8. And they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. The Pharisee will become easily angered because he is self-righteous. And his righteousness is the foundation of his thinking. And in his thinking, he thinks he has the right because he is living by the law. And he lives in a relative righteousness, not in God's righteousness, where he's comparing himself to another person. And in that comparison, if he's doing better in his own estimation, he'll elevate himself and think he has the right. He's a Pharisee. That person is a Pharisee. Jeremiah 8:1, be not afraid of their faces, Be not afraid of their faces. Somebody has an angry countenance. Somebody has angry or hostile words. Somebody will attack you. Somebody will ridicule. Somebody will criticize. Somebody will be unkind to you. Even if you are the one who is in the wrong, when they enter into anger, do not be afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You face somebody's anger, God fights your battle. It's that simple. A person is angry with you, God fights your battle. And finally, in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith we forsake the world. By faith we forsake natural thinking, natural constructs. By faith we forsake the natural way of doing things. By faith we forsake the tree of knowledge of good and evil. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He didn't fear his wrath because he was walking in faith. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, when I am in a circumstance and I have a working, functioning, living relationship to God, then by faith I will see God. I will see the invisible. And though they may be angry, though they may hate me, though they may ridicule or criticize or attack or judge or be unkind, though they may do anything you can imagine, by faith I will see the invisible and He fights my battles. I don't need to be afraid of the angry person. God is fighting my battle. And God fights it very well. Define anger in your own life, in your own heart, and take it to the cross. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, praise, worship, thankful in your heart. Take it to God. Let the cross develop God's life in you. Don't go into anger. Anger is Satan's heart. It comes from emotional rebellion against God, which was the manifestation of the pride Satan had. And it brings you into his government. Be extremely careful about anger. Don't go there. And if you're facing someone who is angry, have faith towards God. Know that He's fighting your battle and that He will deliver you and that nothing will come to you to harm you. Don't shut off your spirit. Don't withdraw. Don't draw into yourself. Draw near. It is exactly Satan's plan for the person who is the recipient of anger to withdraw and to draw into themselves. Don't withdraw. Draw near. Draw near to the body. Draw near to the pastor. Draw near to the Word of God. Draw near to the Spirit. Don't withdraw. Draw near. Amen.